Brother Curtis. I'm amazed at how those songs are going to really complement the message tonight. It's amazing how the Lord does that. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. We're going to look at heart longings tonight. Psalm 119, this is the 17th section that we're going to be looking at tonight, known as the Pay Stanza. It begins in verse 129 through verse 136. Can you believe that we only have five more sections in this longest psalm, longest chapter in the Word of God? Just five more sections after tonight. I can't believe it. So after tonight, about five more messages and we finish Psalm 119. So we're looking tonight at the pay section. I don't think we've got any slides yet, but this, if you'll notice that Hebrew letter, it looks like an open mouth with a tooth on top. And believe it or not, this Hebrew letter, it means mouth. And it has also by extension the meaning of speech or breath. And you're going to see how important that is as we get into these verses. You know, think about our mouth for just a moment. We use our mouth to speak. And we speak to communicate to one another. It's very important. With our mouths, we fellowship one with another. We encourage one another with words of comfort and encouragement. We exhort one another. We pray for one another. With our mouths, we praise God. And just a moment ago, we were singing to God with our mouths. With our mouths, we also share the gospel. We preach Christ to others. And so our mouths are pretty important. But on the other side of that truth tonight, I think it's very interesting to think about the mouth and the breath that we have to force through our mouth to form speech and words. That God speaks to us. He speaks to us from His mouth. We have His words tonight in the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know that word, inspiration. It's not talking about how we might use the word inspiration, like I got inspiration to plant flowers today. No, that didn't really happen to me. I don't do that. I'm just using that as an example. That's not what it means, but in the Greek New Testament, the word is theopneutos. It's from theos, God, and pneuptos or pneuma is breath or spirit. And so what it means literally, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now I want you to think about this. Everyone, put your hand in front of your mouth. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Air comes out. And you know tonight as I'm preaching, you're thinking with my mouth I'm preaching to you. But really, all you're doing tonight is listening to my breathing. I mean technically, I'm taking deep breaths. I'm breathing out that breath through my vocal cords. Of course, it's forming words and speech. But I want you to think about the Word of God is God-breathed. God breathed these words into His servants who wrote these words down. And so the Word of God tonight is the breath of God. It comes directly from the mouth of God. And so just as we use our mouths to speak to one another, communicate to one another, God uses His Word to communicate to us. It is His very breath. It comes from His mouth. I want you to look at the key verse of this section. I told you every time I look at a section, it's a challenge to try to figure out what the main theme of the section is. As you know, each one of these verses in this pay section in the Hebrew Bible begins with the letter P, or pay. And as I look through this, and keeping in mind that pay means mouth or breath, I believe verse 131 gave me the clue and the key to understanding this passage. I want to read that verse 131 as we start tonight. He said, I opened my mouth. And literally in the Hebrew, it would begin with the word mouth, which is starts with the pay. It would be mouth. I opened and panted. And you know, when you pant, you're breathing, right? And I think of a dog when I think of panting. A dog panting. My dogs are, with the weather warming up, they're panting a lot. Their tongues hanging out of their mouth, they're panting. He says, for I longed for thy commandments. So he said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. You know, I want to just share with you a story talking about the dogs. We kind of enjoyed getting out with the weather getting a little nicer and warmer. The wind is starting to be less windy. It's not 50 mile an hour wind, and so it's nice to sit out in the backyard and enjoy the evening. I think it was Monday night we had pizza on the porch with Jaylee, and I put some pizza on the pellet grill, and it's just a beautiful evening. But, you know, we have two dogs, and the German Shepherd, Sheba, she loves playing ball. She has a little Kong ball. It's one of the super strong Kong balls, because if you get a regular Kong ball, she'll destroy it. But this one is very, very strong, and she's had it for a long time, but she loves that ball, and she'll bring that ball and set it at my feet. She'll put her paw there to make sure the ball doesn't roll away. She'll put their paw till the ball stops. And then she's sitting there panting. She's looking at that ball, panting. She's longing for that ball. She is panting after that ball. She is waiting for me to pick that ball up and to throw it. And I'm telling you, I will throw until my arm's sore. And she keeps bringing that ball back. She'll set it down. Her focus is on that ball. She's longing after that ball. She's panting after that ball. And when I read that verse, that's what I was thinking about. The word panted means to gasp or to pant with desire, to be eager for something, to breathe heavily. And so David, of course, he's using something that animals do. Animals pant, dogs pant. Humans, we don't pant. But he's using this illustration to speak of a desire that he has, an intense desire that he has for the Word of God. And that's what he is speaking about. He was so eager for the Word of God. And it kind of reminds me of Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, where David said, as the hart, this is talking about a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So David, in that psalm, he's talking about his longing, his intense desire for God Himself. In our verse, he's talking about his intense desire for God's Word. And really, you can't divide the two. I mean, you think about Jesus is the living Word, the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And tonight we have the written Word. You can't really divorce the two. You know, just as the Bible says that the Word is wonderful, as we're going to see in this first verse, Jesus is wonderful. And they're both wonderful, and we should desire more of the Word of God. We should long more for the Word of God. We should long for God. Spurgeon, he wrote about this key verse that I shared, verse 131. He said, "So animated was his desire that he looked into the animal world to find a picture of it. He was filled with an intense longing and was not ashamed to describe it by most expressive, natural, and yet singular symbol. Like a stag that has been hunted in the chase and is hard-pressed and therefore pants for breath, so did the psalmist pant for the entrance of God's word into his soul. Nothing else could content him. All that the world could yield him left him still panting with open mouth." You know, that's what Spurgeon wrote about this verse. David uses this to express his desire for the Word of God. So I want to ask tonight this question before we look at this passage. What are you panting after? What are you longing after? And we're talking about your heart's desires. We're talking about your heart's longings. What is it that your heart longs for tonight? What are you panting after in your heart? In this passage, we're going to see that David reveals three things that his heart longed after. We're going to look at three things tonight that David's heart longed after. The first thing is his heart longed for the Word of God. In these first three verses, I want to read them together because they capture this thought that David, he panted after the Word of God. He longed for the Word of God. He had such an intense desire for the Word of God. In verse 129, he said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." And remember, the word testimonies is another word for the Scripture, for the Word of God. It speaks of how the Scriptures reveal the testimonies of God. And so he says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." And I love the next verse. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." I want to just ask you tonight, aren't you thankful that God is not silent to us? Aren't you glad that God has spoken to us in his word? That he's given us his word? Imagine what life would be like without the Word of God. Have you ever stopped to imagine that? What would life be like? It would be like a lot of countries that don't have the Word of God, that don't have the gospel, don't have Jesus, don't have churches. It's pretty dark in those countries, I guarantee you. I've seen some of it as I've traveled. I've seen some of the darkness. I've seen some of the wickedness. And, you know, without the Word of God, our world would be a lot worse than it is now. Our hearts, we would have no light whatsoever. We'd be in total darkness. And so I'm thankful that God speaks to us in His Word. I'm thankful that with God's mouth, He speaks to us that we might know Him, that we might love Him. And God longs, I want you to think about this, God longs to have a relationship with us. But the question is, do you long to have a relationship with Him? Do you long to have a relationship with Him? In this passage, we see the heart of David. He did. He longed to know God. He longed to hear from God. He longed for God to speak to him so that he could know him more, so that he could love him more. He wanted that relationship with God. He wanted that intimacy with God because we see in these verses how his heart was panting after God's word. He wanted to know him. You know, under this point of him longing for God's word, I want you to see in verse 129 that God's word is wonderful. God's word is wonderful. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Now, this particular word, wonderful, the Hebrew word here, it speaks of that which is miraculous. That's the idea behind this this word. There's many different shades of meaning that we could talk about with just the word wonderful. You could look it up in the English dictionary. There are a lot of different descriptions of this word. But in this particular case, he's talking about miraculous. He's talking about something that's supernatural. He's talking about something that's extraordinary. He's saying God's word is miraculous. The word of God is supernatural. The word of God is amazing. It is just powerful. And really, if you stop and think about the history of the word of God, it is truly miraculous. How that we still have today a preserved copy of the word of God that God inspired through 40 different authors over 1,600 years of history. And these were penned by over these 40 different men of different personalities, different gifting, but yet we have one unified message in the Word of God. It's amazing. And to think about how that through history, how that enemies of God have tried to destroy the Word of God. And I don't have time to go into all those stories, but many of you are familiar with some of those stories of how that God had kept His Word and protected it and preserved it. And so we still have the Word of God today. It's one of the best sellers in all of history. It's a miraculous book. It's supernatural. You know, it's the only book that you really, by reading it, you get to know the author. And, you know, the author that gave it is God. And He has given us a living book. It's powerful, as the scripture tells us. There's nothing in comparison to the Bible. There's no book on this earth in comparison. Nothing can compare to the Bible. And it's a wonder to read it. It's a wonder to spend time meditating in it, to study it, to feed on it, to cherish it, to possess it. It's a wonder. It's a miracle that we have it. And you know, it's really sad how we take for granted the Word of God. How we, you know, how many of you have more than one Bible at home? I bet you everyone here has more than one Bible at home. And we have multitudes of Bibles. But I think about the people all across the world that don't have a copy of even the New Testament. They don't have a copy of even a portion of Scripture. They don't have it. And when these people get the Word of God, it's precious to them because it's something that they want to know more of. They want to know of God. But yet we have it, and we have multiple copies, and yet we treat it as if it's not important. But you see here, David, he longed for the Word of God. And the reason he longed for it was because it's wonderful. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It's timeless. You think about the timelessness of the Bible. It was, you know, Revelation was the last book written about 90 AD. That's been a long time. Almost about 2,000 years. Think about that. Almost two millenniums. But you go to Job and Genesis, some of those books are even more old. I mean, you're looking more like going back 4,000 plus years. And so you think about this. This Bible was written thousands of years ago, but yet it's timeless. It's relevant. It speaks today in 2022 just with the same power that it did when Moses spoke it, when the Word of God was first given. It's truly amazing in how that it's pure and it's accurate and it's universal in its relevance. You can take it anywhere in the world. You can take it to the heathen countries. People that worship idols. People that are animists, that worship trees and believe that trees are their gods. And you can take the Bible there and it's relevant to them. And it's powerful. You know, this kind of book, it demands a response. And David said, therefore doth my soul keep them. Keep means to guard, to protect, to obey. If something is so wonderful, it should be honored and obeyed. If we really believe the Word of God is wonderful tonight, if we really believe that it's supernatural, if we really believe that it's miraculous, we should honor it. We should obey it. We should long after it. As I said earlier, Jesus is the living Word, and He's called Wonderful in Isaiah 9:6. Remember those titles that's given: Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, here the Word of God's called Wonderful. You know, I really believe with all my heart, when we honor and obey the written Word of God, we are honoring and obeying the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. But not only is God's Word wonderful, it gives light. God's Word gives light. And that's why He longed for it. Because He longed to receive this light, this understanding, and this knowledge from God. And He says in verse 130, the entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, I love this word entrance. It speaks of an opening. It speaks of a doorway. When the Word of God is open to us, you know, that's why I say the songs are so powerful, Brother Curtis. And, you know, just to think about that song, Open Thou My Eyes, that I Might See. You know, when the Word of God's open to us, when that door's open, we can go in and we can behold wondrous things. That's what's so amazing. We can enter in and see the beauty, not only of just the Word of God, but the beauty of God Himself. There's no other place that you can see the beauty of God today. It's in the Word of God. We go to the Word of God and we spend time with the Lord, and we spend time in prayer, and we spend time in meditation in the Word. That's where we see the beauty of God. That's where we see the glory of God. The Word of God gives us light, understanding, and you know, that one of the words in that song, illumine me. That's what it means, giveth light. It means to illumine. The Word of God does that. It illumines. It gives understanding that we can know who God is. We can know what pleases God. We can know how to know Him. You know, this word entrance, speaking of something that's opened up, it reminds me of Luke 24:32, when Jesus was walking with those two Emmaus disciples on the Emmaus road. It says in that verse, Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? While they were walking with Jesus beginning from the prophets, beginning with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, He began to open their understanding to see how that Christ had to suffer, and how Christ had to die, and how Christ had to rise again. He was opening up their understanding to the Scriptures, and their hearts were burning in them. And that's what the Word of God does. When we open the Word of God in obedience and faith, listen, God will shine His light into our hearts and give us understanding to teach us and to guide us. But in verse 131, we see that God's Word leaves us longing for more. Coming to that key verse, He said, I opened my mouth and panteth, for I longed for Thy commandments. That's why the Word of God's so wonderful. It's miraculous. You can get into the Word of God. You could read through this book. I'm telling you, you could read through it 100 times. And then when you read it through the 101st time, it's still miraculous. You're going to see wondrous things. You're going to see things that you didn't see in the first 100 times you read through it. There's always going to be a longing for more. This word longing in this verse, it speaks of a very strong desire that is impossible to fully satisfy. I'm not saying the Word of God doesn't satisfy us, but what I'm saying is that His desire was not satisfied. He wanted more. He had a constant hunger for the Word of God. David was opening his mouth and panting. He wanted more and more and more. He couldn't get enough. His appetite couldn't be satisfied. That's the kind of longing he's talking about here. The Word of God is that miraculous. It's that wonderful because it gives light and it gives us sustenance and something that we continue to want to go back to for more and for more and more. You know, when we come to church and like tonight, and we come and hear the Word of God preach, and we hear the Word of God opened up to us, that's what I'm doing. I'm expounding and opening up the Word of God for you, and this should only cause in you a more of a desire to know more. Because in 30 minutes, I can't give you much. But I can give you just the basics, and when you go home, you should have a longing to know more about it, to go deeper into it. A deep longing for the Word of God is what we all need. As newborn babes, Peter said, desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you may grow thereby. I want to ask you tonight, do you have an intense longing for the Word of God? Do you have an intense longing for the Word of God? The second major point we see tonight in verse 132 to 135, David's heart longed for God's face. His heart longed for God's face. Not just for God's Word, but His face. He wanted to see His face. David is panting after the Word of God. He's standing there with his mouth open, panting. But now in verse 132, he says, look thou upon me. This means he's addressing God in prayer, and he's saying, God, I want you to turn to me. I want you to look to me. You know why? Because David wanted to see his face. He's praying that the Lord to look upon him, to turn towards him. He wanted to see God's face shining upon him. He is seeking God's face. Because you see in verse 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. What David is expressing here in his longing, that he wants to see God's face. As he's gone through these trials that he's gone through, he longs for the Word of God because he knows the Word of God is what's going to give him light and give him direction to get through the trials. He knows that the Word of God is what's going to give him comfort. It's going to give him patience. It's going to give him strength to get through whatever he's going through. But he wants to see God's face in the midst of his trials. Let me ask you, do you long to see God's face? Are you seeking God's face? In Psalm 27:8, David said this. Psalm 27:8 says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Did you know God wants you to seek His face? He wants you to seek His face. He told David, seek ye my face. I don't think that was inspired and put in our Bibles just for David's sake. It's for your sake and mine. God is saying that to us. Seek ye my face. Like David, we should say, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David longed for God's face. He was seeking God's face. And I want to say, so often people seek God's hand today more than God's face. People are seeking the gifts rather than the giver. The blessings rather than the blesser. It's sad, but many professing Christians, that is exactly what they're after. They want the gifts. They want the blessings. They want God to do something for them. They want their miracle. They want God to provide this or to do that. But they don't want God. I was talking with one of our pastors in Ghana. I trained Brother Michael, and yesterday I spent a couple hours on the phone with him, and He was talking about how it's sad that some of the churches over there, that it's like a competition, that they're just trying to compete with one another. They're just trying to get all these numbers. And he said what they'll do is they'll have these meetings and go to these schools, and they'll just, he said, they talk about heaven, and they ask people, do you want to go to heaven? Of course, everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, pray this prayer. And he said that they count all these people that pray. Of course, almost everybody in some of these schools, they'll raise their hand and they'll pray. But Michael said they have no clue. They don't know what salvation is. He said they're not preaching like Paul did in Romans, that sin is our problem. Sin has brought us short. Sin has separated us from God. Sin has a wage in its death. And we have a sin problem. And we can't know God. And we can't come to God because of sin. But God loved us. And he sent Jesus to die for us. And we need forgiveness. We need salvation from sin. He said they're not preaching that. They're just preaching, hey, you want to go to heaven? Well, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Okay, all of you that raise your hand, pray this prayer. You see, people want the gift. They want heaven, but they don't want God. Spurgeon said of David, he desires to be known of God and daily observed by him. He wishes also to be favored with the divine smile, which is included in that word, look. Look thou upon me. Look thou upon me. To those that love his name, I want you to notice what he said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Usest to do, this is, don't misunderstand, this word means as a custom or a habit. And so what it's saying is that God, as a custom and habit, he shows mercy to those that love his name. And David is praying accordingly. David is praying as one who loved the name of God. He loved God. God, I want you to look upon me. I want you to see your face. To those that love his name and seek his face, God smiles in mercy. He smiles in mercy. You know, I think a lot of times that when we're going through valleys, and I'm talking about dark valleys, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We go through dark valleys. We go through difficult afflictions. Think of how encouraging it is when you draw nigh to God and you see his smiling face. You know, there's nothing like it. The only way you can see that smiling face is when you draw nigh to God in those trials. You seek his face. You spend time with him. You seek him with all your heart. And you see his smiling face, even in the midst of all the darkness. Even in the midst of all the affliction. You know, life can be frowning at us. Our enemies can be frowning at us. But when God's face is smiling on us, we can press on. And that's what David's saying. Look thou upon me. Be merciful unto me. And God does smile in mercy on those that seek him. But God's face not only smiles in mercy, but God's face sets us free. God's face sets us free. In verse 133 and 134, I'm going to look at those verses. In this, you know, we were just singing about that. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom. In verse 133, he said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. I want to just tell you, when you go through those difficult trials, when you go through afflictions, I want to say that sin will try to gain control of you. Sin will feed you lies about God. You get into dark valley. You get into affliction. The devil will feed you lies. And you'll begin to, those lies will begin to take control. And before long, you're walking down the wrong path, away from God. But here he's saying, God, order my steps in thy word. He didn't want his steps to be turned aside. He didn't want to be turned to the left or the right. He wanted to follow God. He didn't want sin to have dominion over him. He didn't want enemies to have dominion over him. Because he said, deliver me. He understood that the trials that he was going through could bring bondage in his life. But I want you to know that when you spend time with the Lord seeking his face, spending time in God's presence, and by the way, seeking God's face, because some of you are like, well, how can I see God's face because he's in heaven? Seeking God's face is synonymous with God's presence. Yeah, he's present in all of us who are saved, but remember a couple years ago I preached on manifest presence. Even though he's in all of us, sometimes his presence is not manifest because we may not feel he's living with us. We may not feel he's near us. We may think he's forsaken us, but he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But his manifest presence is when he shows up in a real way, and you know. And seeing God's face, spending time in his presence, you know what happens? Here's what happens. You're reminded of how wonderful God is, that he's your master and you're his servant. He uses that, verse 135, thy servant. Remember in the last section that we looked at last week, three times he said, I am thy servant. See, when we spend time in the presence of the master and we see the master's face, we see his smiling face, sin loses its grip. The enemies that are oppressing us lose their power. Because then we see that the Most High God is over our enemies. That our Master cares for us. We are his servants, and he's over us and he's over them. That's how he sets us free. You know the Bible, Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth sets us free. The truth does set us free. There are so many people in bondage, even Christians in bondage today, because of lies. Lies that they believed because of lust in their heart and lies in their mind. These two things, lust and lies, have got many Christians in bondage, many people in bondage, but the only thing that can set you free is God's word. The truth sets us free. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free, Jesus said. But you have to get in God's presence. You have to seek his face. You have to hear from him personally as he speaks to you. Listen, when he speaks, it sets you free from these lies and these lusts. And as we spend time in his presence, he will order our steps. You know, this word order, it's not necessarily speaking of like ordering in a sense of command, but there are several shades of meaning for this word order. It means to be arranged. You know, like you order stuff. Like these letters right here, preschool, they're ordered. They're arranged in order. He said, order my steps, arrange my steps, prepare my steps in your paths. That's what he's praying here. To be fixed, to be settled, to be established. It also has those ideas in that order. Because God sets and arranges things in order in our steps. Our steps become steadfast. Our steps become established in His way. And that's what He's praying. There have been many times I can say that I've spent time with the Lord, and during that time with the Lord, He had given me direction. He had ordered my steps. There are times I've gone into His presence, didn't know what to do. But seeking His face, He began to order my steps. It's amazing. There have been many times I didn't know I knew what text I was supposed to preach, but I didn't know what to preach. I didn't know how to preach it. I felt no direction whatsoever, but I'd spend time in God's presence and seeking His face, and He would order the message. It would just be laid out and arranged, and I'm like, wow. I could spend hours and days studying and studying and studying and get nothing. Not to say that it's not profitable. Studying is profitable. What I'm saying is that it's not until I'm in the presence of God that it begins to become ordered and arranged. And that's what He does with our life. He directs our path. So I want you to see tonight that David longed, not just for God's word, but he longed for the face of God. Do you long for God's face? Do you seek God's face tonight? We're going to look at this last verse under the last point. His heart longed for God to be loved by all. His heart longed for God to be loved by all. You know, I just looking at the scripture here, I skipped verse 135. I want to just read that real quick. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. God's face shines upon His servants. I missed that point, but He not only sets us free, but He shines and, you know, in the light upon us. And there's such power when we know that God is shining upon us. His face is shining. There's such power in that. There's such freedom in that. There's such peace in that. You know, when the priest would give their blessing in Numbers chapter 6, 25 and 26. We're reading through Numbers now as a church, but said, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You know, whenever God's face shines upon us, listen, we have peace. We have peace. It reminds me of a story. I remember a story that these sailors were in this ship and they were in a terrible storm. I mean, it was really, really, really bad. They thought that they were going to lose their lives. They thought that all was going to be lost. And in the midst of that storm, the captain, he was up there in the bridge. And he was up there with his hand there on the bridge. He's up there steering the ship. And the story goes that when the sailors looked up there and they saw the captain's face, that they pressed on. Because they saw his face shining. They saw his face. There was confidence that all was under control. And there's nothing like that. When all the world around us is out of control, everything in our lives is in chaos. When we see God's face, we see it's all okay. It's all okay. Okay, now we're going to come to this last point. He says in verse 136, rivers of water or waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. I mean, that's a lot of tears. That's a lot of tears. Rivers of waters. You know, many things in this world break us, and many things in this broken world bring us to tears, do they not? I mean, just me saying that right now, I'm sure that maybe in your mind there's something or someone comes to mind that has brought you to tears. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself this? When was the last time I wept over God's name being dishonored and disrespected? When is the last time I wept over God's name being dishonored and disrespected? You know, as he said up there in verse 132, that love thy name. He loved God's name, his glory, his reputation, his person, who he was. And when he saw God's name and God's reputation being disrespected, he saw people that did not love God, did not keep his law. His heart was broken. He had rivers of water of tears. I really believe if God is truly our heart's longing desire, that we truly love his name, we're going to weep when others dishonor him. I think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 9 verse 1 says, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Or Jesus in Luke 19:41, "And when he was come near," talking of the city of Jerusalem, "he beheld the city and he wept over it." His heart was broken. Or Paul in Romans 9, 2 and 3, "that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." There was tears for those people that did not love God. There was tears of compassion. There was tears of brokenness. I believe in this verse that David's longing for people to love God like he did. What we weep over reveals what we value and what we love. What we weep over reveals what we value and what we love. Does your heart tonight long for others to love God, to know God? I know that I have a long ways on this. When I was studying on this and thinking about, Lord, help me to have tears for lost people. Help me to long for them to know you, to love you. You know, we can look at the world around us and we can make all these critical comments about politicians and different people and their... We can look out there and we can see people that don't walk with God. We can see people that live in sin. And as we look out there, we can forget that they're a soul that Christ died for. We can point fingers and judge, but not weep. Our hearts should be broken. We should weep as David did, as Jesus did, as Jeremiah did, as Paul did. Weep for those that don't know God. Weep for those that don't know the wonderful Word of God that tells us about a wonderful Savior. You know, this is a very sobering thing for us tonight as we conclude. It's a very sobering thing for us to examine our hearts. What is your heart panting after tonight? What is your heart longing after tonight? You know, earlier I talked about my dog. I mean, she longs after that ball. She pants after that ball. Her focus is on that ball. I want to tell you that if I go out there with the ball and she's eating, if she sees that ball, she'll stop eating. She'll forget about eating. I mean, do you know a dog that would do that? I mean, most dogs, they're going to eat first, but not Sheba. That ball she longs to pant after. I have to hide the ball or she won't eat. She'll be over at the fence. We have a neighbor that has some chickens in the backyard. And our dogs go crazy. They go over there and they got a sniff and they can hear the rooster over there. But if I get the ball out, Sheba forgets all about the rooster. They can have a squirrel treed in the yard. I mean, there's a squirrel at the top of that tree and they're not letting him come down. They're barking and barking and barking. But I get that ball out, Sheba comes running. Forget the squirrel. She wants the ball. That's longing. That's desire. And what about your desire? What about your heart? What's your longing? What's your focus tonight? I think I put this last phrase up here. How we use our breath and our mouth reveals what our hearts long for. Remember the letter pay. The Hebrew letter pay means mouth, breath, speech. So I'm using that as we close. How we use our breath, how we use our mouth reveals what our heart pants after. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for this wonderful song of the Word of God. And for David expressing his longing and his desire for your Word. God, help us to have that same desire for your Word. To pant after your Word with intense desire. Lord, David longed after God's face. He wanted to be in your presence. He wanted to know your presence was near. God, help us to have that kind of longing. To be in your presence. To seek your face. God, how all the troubles of this world would soon dim in comparison. Just like this song we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The things of this world will grow strangely dim. Oh, that we would look at the face of Jesus, that we would go into his presence every day and long to be with him. And as David longed for others to know you, to love you, to enjoy the fellowship that we have with you, as John the Apostle expressed in his first epistle, he desired others to come into this fellowship with the Father and the Son, to know that sweet fellowship. Oh God, that our hearts would weep and be broken for those people, that we would pray for them. God, that you'd move upon us to have this longing to reach them with our mouths, to share Christ with them, to share the gospel with them. God, help us realize that we have breath tonight so we can bring glory to your name, so we can be with you. God, help us. We love you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for longing after us and loving us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.